From the Game Nashville studios, it's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5, The Game.
Welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe alongside for the next 4 hours. Max Herz, man in the board today at our game studio. So looking forward to another fast-moving show. We'll talk a little Nashville SC in about 15 minutes or so. Get a lot of Titans flavor in the second hour of the program. Silly underdog picks. Coming up at high noon, we'll review, we'll make our new selections, and we'll have a little fun, like we always do every week with silly underdog picks. And 1 o'clock, we'll just keep things rolling down the tracks. A lot of things going on here today as we get a little bit closer to the end of the week. And, you know, it's we had baseball break. Guys, how you doing, by the way?
We're good.
What's going on,
we're
guys?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
I can't see you.
Darren, we do have a topic. We have a topic we have to delve into.
No, we don't.
Yeah, I just think we need to find out a little bit more about it.
Every show I've ever been on has gone down this road, and like we understand I have a problem, and it's whatever.
No, it's not a problem.
Is this the Starbucks problem?
No, it's related.
Okay.
It's related. Listen, I have a huge jug of coffee. But Chase has gone with a strategy, Darren, that I have not seen before, I don't think. Not from him, anyway.
Okay.
And I don't think I've seen it from anybody else.
Oh, I've done this a lot.
Is this the double like 96-ounce drink?
No, it's not.
It's really a combo.
They're sitting right here. You can see
it's
us.
Have we lost the camera again?
No, it's back. All right, now, I'm double-fisting.
In your left hand, Chase.
It's the Cherry Coke.
You have a Cherry Coke.
Yes.
It's fine. It's 10 a.m., but, you know, I try to avoid the soda before the afternoon or whatever, but okay. But in your right hand, you had what?
The iced coffee.
Iced coffee. Now, these are sizable helpings of these, right? We're talking like, what, 40 ounces here of each?
I mean,
32.
32.
That's 32.
That's a 32.
Mm-hmm. So, Darren, I mean, just break this down for me. We've got iced coffee in the left hand. Iced coffee in the right hand and the Cherry Coke in the left hand at 10 a.m. So, and Chase, is this to last you the entire day or is this just for the
show?
Yeah,
now I usually, like, it does last the entire day.
Okay, so which one? Are you going with one first and then you breaking out the other? Or are you going to mix them up?
We alternate.
Do you want me to put them in a blender?
No,
shake them up a little bit.
I don't want the flavors to mix.
At 10:20 you might be thinking Coke.
Yes.
10:40 you might come back with the.
I mean the coffee is about halfway done. Usually, this is the thing. This is kind of a normal but usually I'm done with the coffee by now.
Well, that's what most people do. They drink the coffee in the morning and then
we're running a little late today with the coffee. Did not get to the coffee early enough.
Okay, so there's an overlap.
And so there's an overlap.
Okay.
that's what we got going.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
This is a normal thing, though.
Okay. So, Darren, what do you think about this?
I have no comment because I knew we would go down that road. I don't drink iced coffee and I don't drink Cherry Coke. So I don't. Do I drink a lot? Yes, as you guys know. I stay hydrated constantly throughout the day. But it's not with either – it's never with two beverages, and it's never those choices. So I don't know. I don't really have a comment on that. So Chase, to each his own.
Thank you.
That's all I can say.
I don't know
what to say.
It is what it is.
I don't understand the iced coffee thing. I don't – what I don't – explain to me iced coffee. Like, I have no desire to ever have iced coffee in my entire life.
I'm relatively new to the iced coffee, and I've come around to it.
I was like you. I was like you, Darren. And then I tried it, and I'll tell you how this started. When I moved to mornings, Nick Kale would come in here with an iced coffee every day. And I was like, I didn't drink coffee all that much because, you know, I just didn't like the taste of it.
Yeah.
And so I was drinking energy drinks, which is not good. And I do from time to time, but it was much more then. And he said, dude, you should try the iced coffee. And so one morning I did. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I never looked back. Like, I was a big fan. Now, most mornings now, I go with the regular, you know, your typical hot coffee. But every now and then I'll switch it up. But there were times where Nick and I would be in the Starbucks line at the same time. Getting iced coffee. So that's where that began. It's a few years ago.
Okay.
But I mean, what is the, I don't understand. There's certain things I don't understand why you would drink. Like, I don't, like, I get it. Like, why decaffeinated coffee? Like, why? I thought the whole point was to be caffeinated. I don't know why you would want decaffeinated coffee. I don't understand unsweet tea. Like, I don't, to me, you are a Martian if you drink unsweet tea. Like, I do not understand unsweet tea. Who in the world would actually choose to drink unsweet tea? I don't get it. But whatever. Once again, to each his own. Iced coffee. Like, I, you know, Sharps. Like, if you're allergic to beer or you don't like beer, then why are you drinking? Like, I don't understand the non-alcohol beer. I don't get all that stuff. Like, I thought you drink certain things right for a reason. I mean, I just kind of feel like people drink coffee because they want to wake up. I mean, I know there are people that drink coffee in the afternoon.
You're combining two different things here. Iced coffee isn't.
We're going off on a different subject.
What's the lure of iced coffee? Help me understand.
I mean, it's just
why you would want it cold.
That's really what it is. It's just cold. I mean, for me, like, I'm such a hot-natured person, like, especially in the summer, you know, I don't want to be hot, and so having an iced coffee gives me the same effect as drinking normal coffee. It's just cold.
Am I right that this would be a – iced coffee would be more of a new thing in the last, 10, 20 years? Like, when I was growing up, I don't know if I ever remember anybody.
I don't know if 20 years ago, were they drinking
more
iced
like 10?
Coffee? I don't.
Because, I mean, like, to be honest with you, it's one of those trendy things that some, you know.
But we're going on a good while now. A lot of people go with it now. When you go to a coffee place.
So it's not to be hot? Is that the explanation?
I think if you just need
iced
to get it in your veins quicker, you need to get it in your veins quicker. I think that might be it. Or if it's hot weather, but you just like the taste of coffee,
I can drink
a soft drink.
I can drink the iced coffee faster than I could. You know, like, I'm not drinking hot coffee through a straw. Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the lure.
Hmm. Okay. I got a text.
I don't know. I'm a relatively new coffee person. I'd never
Wilson
drank
County.
Coffee.
Hyundai.com, and this person, and I'm not going to reveal their name because I'm just not.
But I'm going to know who it is, probably.
Yeah, and they said sweet tea is disgusting, and they sent me an alien emoji. Like,
That's a whole different world.
I could totally see this person. Of course they're in the unsweet category, and I'll just unsweet tea category. Of course. So I'm not surprised at all by that text. So you know who you are. And of course you drink unsweet tea. You're an alien, okay? That's what aliens drink, unsweet tea. I don't even know why they created. Why is that even an option, unsweet
tea? Well, there's a lot of aliens in the Northeast, I can tell you then.
Well, that's just because they've never been introduced to sweet tea. Move to the South, come visit Nashville like all of them do, and get hooked on sweet tea. And then go home and tell everybody, you must have sweet tea as an option. So the iced coffee is not 20 years, Willie. There's no way it's 20 years. So it's just to drink faster? Okay. I mean,
I think it's also a little bit of I want to avoid the soft drinks, and I like the taste of coffee, and so what do? I think there's that sliver in there. Now, I'm not an expert because I never drank coffee at all until I started traveling with the Predators, really. The hockey guys.
I didn't either until I got into mornings.
At the rink, yeah, when it's cold, that's a big time coffee haven right there. So I got sort of sucked in with the crowd there. They're like, "What are you doing? You got to drink coffee." The morning skate, boom. So I kind of went in there. So, but I'm new to the coffee world.
I will say this: I did have a revelation last night, actually, when I was working Nashville SC. I tried the Coke Zero Sugar, the new one that they've come out with.
Oh, so yeah. Now we've introduced a new title.
This is like the fourth iteration of this. But I try them all. Yeah, and you like it. I mean,
I do.
I didn't because of the aftertaste. My whole thing with Diet Coke was there's just an aftertaste that I don't like.
Okay.
But I tried it last night and I was like, you know what? We got something.
Yeah.
So this could be a game changer for me.
Okay.
If I switch to the zero sugar. I mean, I think that could be a good thing. So
you think that could be a good thing. But in the meantime, Darren, we continue on with the 64-ounce cherry Coke and also the iced coffee, at the same time. That was just, to me, new ground. The overlap of the coffee and soft drink caffeine source.
Yes. Before we get to...
You're saying that's a jittery combination?
I'm just saying, I just haven't seen that. I'm going to be observing Chase very closely today during the show.
If you're to give him a test during the break, if you were a police officer, you may think he's on something.
My little
guess
jittery.
Is his
little...
eyes are going back and forth really fast.
Little jittery, yeah. The bobbleheads in front of Chase, he's going to have his own little bobblehead going.
Paul on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Can we compare and contrast athletic performance, i.e. batting practice and throwing the first pitch, to consuming 64 ounces of cherry Coke / iced coffee daily?
How would you answer that, Chase?
I'm not really sure those two have anything to do with each other. I mean,
no, I mean, he may be onto something. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Let me put it to you like
this.
Let
me ask you something. He may be in a roundabout, very nice Southern way asking you, do you think it's healthy to start off your day with those two drinks? He's asking that.
It's probably not healthy. Uh-huh, and by the way, not. Greg says, tell Sir Adam to suck it, drink sweet tea.
That is awesome. Who texts that in?
Greg.
That is awesome. Good for you, Craig.
Knowing
if we had
people.
A prize, Greg, you win. That is fantastic.
But what I was going to say, listen, Barry Bonds didn't need steroids to hit home runs. He was hitting home runs well before he took the steroids. And what I mean by that is I was sucking at athletics well before I started drinking multiple caffeinated beverages a day.
So now you're comparing yourself to Barry Bonds.
In not a good way, apparently.
When you drink these two beverages, does your head swell?
No.
No?
Oh, okay. That would be unfortunate.
Barry's did. By the way, I just got another text on my text line. Shut up, Greg.
Well, and now we got some people texting about, you know, a lot of people don't drink sweet tea because
See, Darren, you introduced a different strand of this, and now we're going to go down the
like, okay.
To each their own.
They can be mad.
I would just like to point out that we've opened the show talking about beverages, and more people care about that than they do the Titans and the Jets. So
I'm not sure that's true, but I do think we've got to rein it back
in.
At some
sure
point.
So
that.
to all the sports radio consultants out there, there you go.
Well, let me just tell you something, Chase. As you know, we bucked that trend a long, 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 long time ago to consultants.
I know.
Because they would have never, ever said four questions is a good idea. They would have never, ever said silly underdogs. In fact, we have had bosses tell us it's the dumbest thing they've ever heard. Literally, think about that.
Yeah.
Think about the success of silly underdogs over what? Almost three decades? It's the dumbest thing they've ever heard. Yeah. How's that worked out for them? And then we would get data that said it's the most popular thing on the radio station.
It's worked well.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're on top of it, consultants and bosses. That's a good one.
Chase, could you please come to the conference room? Okay, well, see you guys in a few.
Which drink are you going to bring with you? Bringing both?
I'll bring them both.
Double fisting.
One to drink, one to throw.
I got to be honest, that was one of my more favorite first segments of the show. All right, we'll come back. We'll switch gears. We'll talk a little soccer, a little Nashville SC on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Nashville's won the ball back, and it's Randall Leal into the final third as Mukhtar to his left. Leal goes alone. He scores! 2-0, boys in gold. 59th minute. Here comes the penalty from DK. Scores! Game on. Orlando claws one back in the 76th minute. Corner kick from the far side. Here it comes from Nani. It's hanging. They score. Orlando equalizes with just 2 minutes left in stoppage time. I ain't got
much to lose. That's how it sounded on ESPN 94.9 last night. Welcome back in, Darren Donick and Chase. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Darren McFarland. That was the voice of the great John Freeman, radio play-by-play man of Nashville SC, and he joins us now. John, great call, and unfortunately, just a draw, but a valuable point for the boys in gold last night against Orlando. How you doing?
Good, man. You guys had to put me back through the trauma of a 93rd-minute equalizer. I was just coming to talk about coffee and Diet Coke, to be honest.
All right, where do you stand, John, in all this?
But if you want to talk soccer, I can do it.
Well, where do you stand on all this? Are you a coffee guy?
Yeah, of course. Oh, ice, man. Not during games, though. I was surprised to hear that Willie sips coffee before hockey games because it dries your throat out.
I know.
I can barely make it through 90 minutes of soccer. I can't imagine three periods on a...
Well, Willie, you don't do it before games, though, right?
I do. If I do, it's way before. It's a couple
skate?
Hours. Morning skate, yeah. And then maybe right when I get to the rink, but... John is right. You can't be doing that during the game.
Oh, you're doing it in the afternoon. I didn't see you as a PM coffee. It would be strictly AM. Interesting.
Sometimes I slip. I get into the, between 4:30 and like 5 o'clock, for a 7 o'clock game. Because you're right. Then you got to rehydrate. You drink about 10 glasses of water, and then you know where you're going there. Hopefully rehydrated. But
well, Chase knows that... I'm quite the almost like a pharmacist in my radio booth. I've got every single potion that you could possibly have: the slippery elm, the throat coat tea. It's gotten a bit ridiculous. So I'll take any tips you have, Willie.
I go with the tea during the game. That is key. The tea with the honey during the game. That is an important.
Just don't
element.
Drink Chase's drink. It's Jack and honey. So just be steer clear of his cup. Just so you know,
he's our audio engineer. I don't think I could do that on the air.
No,
stay employed.
Well, John. So as segueing back into soccer, last night, I mean, Nashville was definitely in the first half in control of this thing, and as we heard in the clips, there the penalty is what put Orlando back in it, and then getting that goal. Which turned out to be an own goal by Nashville SC by Brian Anunga. That was the equalizer. And so both teams get a point. Orlando stays in the mix. But, I mean, you'll take it. You'll take it over a loss. But I know a disappointing night with Nashville looking like they had 3 points.
Yeah, it's a really strange feeling after a match that, Nashville was in control. And rarely do we ever see them give up leads. I mean, ever since I've been calling games, and this is my fourth year calling it at the professional level for Nashville SC, and when you've got a Nashville SC team with a lead at home in front of a crowd like that, you think it's just finish it out and lock it down. And that seemed to be the script last night, and Orlando City clawed back. And the lifeline of the penalty, I think there's a lot of debate about whether it was a good penalty call or not. To be honest, I don't really have an opinion. I know my color analyst, Wes Bowling, thought it was a bit of a light penalty to give, but sometimes it happens. And to see Orlando claw one back, and even then you still felt like Nashville had it in the bag, late equalizer. But in the end, it's still a point against a very good team. Nashville got a result last night when a lot of teams that are chasing them didn't. And it's still a six-point buffer in the second spot of the MLS standings in the Eastern Conference. So when you look at the bigger picture and when in doubt, zoom out, and you see a Nashville club that hasn't lost at home in, I guess, now 15 straight regular season matches, you see a team that's sitting firmly at second in the Eastern Conference table, which would be guaranteed at least one playoff game. And if they win that, be guaranteed another one. In the end, you're not happy with the draw, but it's not a disaster.
Hani Mukhtar scores again last night, 13 goals on the season. And I know people around here that follow this club, you know, think, okay, he needs to be getting more national attention. But how do you think he is viewed across the landscape of the MLS?
He is getting there in terms of national exposure. It took a while for the league to notice. And to be honest, it took a while for Hani Mukhtar to get to the level that he's playing in. Let's not forget, he played a full season last year, and while he was a very, very good MLS player, he wasn't worthy of MVP discussion last year, just by the statistics and by a lot of other players having exceptional years. Hani is playing at an MVP level right now. Statistically, he passes the eye test as well. He's consistent with his performances. He's scoring, not only is he scoring goals, he's scoring the first goal of the game. He's scoring late equalizers. He's scoring big goals, not just picking up, you know, the fourth or fifth goal in a game that Nashville has clearly in control. I think what was a really neat moment last night before the 93rd minute equalizer, Hani Mukhtar was subbed out maybe with a minute or two to go before stoppage time. And you could hear it in our headset because, Chase, you do such a good job with the audio and setting it up so that we can hear what the crowd is chanting. You could hear a rain down of MVP.
Yeah.
MVP. And it gave me chills. I know Hani certainly heard it. And when you hear about Hani Mukhtar in the MVP race, I think the league is starting to hear it as well.
You know, John, as you were talking about that, it reminded me of a clip that I saw yesterday. It happened to be Tony Kemp, who plays for the Oakland A's, grew up here. His nephew had a PK, and his dad filmed it, and he did the Hani Mukhtar celebration. He ran over, he did the salute, and he kind of shouted out Nashville SC. And the theme is, hey, these kids are watching. You know, everybody's this team is making a mark. I just love seeing stuff like that. And, you know, it happened to be the nephew of a big league player. But I think that says a lot, not only about Hani Mukhtar, but also just how the team is starting to infiltrate and be a part of the soccer community.
Yeah, I remember talking to Gary Smith when he first got to Nashville. And he understands the relationship of club and city. And he would always tell me that it makes him excited that people who are going to the games are picking their heroes. They're finding the player that they'll attach themselves to. And that connection, he felt it when he was a kid, when he was growing up in England. I think everybody who's watched sports has that connection with the first athlete that was their favorite athlete. And it's a bit surreal to start seeing a lot of young kids in our area pick a Nashville SC player as their favorite athlete. Even going back to last year, Walker Zimmerman scores a goal. And he does this kind of arm swinging strut after it. And before you know it, there's videos of kids across Middle Tennessee doing it as well in their celebration. So when you look at this Nashville SC roster and you look at these players and how stylish they are and how diverse they are and how exciting they are to watch, I don't think it's hard for a lot of fans to pick a favorite player.
Another thing I'm noticing is the journey of the season is an interesting challenge. Last year was last year. So now watching this unfold, where you have all these nuances in a schedule, you have breaks, you have games you play where some of your players are not available because they're playing some international play somewhere. So you've got to be able to just kind of bob and weave with the ebb and flow of the schedule, and it's over a long, long period of time. What kind of challenges are you seeing with that, John? And what do good teams do to get through that?
Good teams are consistent throughout the season, no matter who is playing. The other thing about good teams, and Nashville is certainly one of them, you know, they're one of the top five in all of MLS in total points accumulated. They'll map out a whole plan for how they're going to deal with this. Now, it's hard to deal with injuries. Fortunately, Nashville SC has had minimal amount of injuries this year, looking at the overall picture. But what you're seeing is Gary Smith breaking down parts of Nashville SC's schedule, looking at road versus home, looking at recovery time in between games, and you're seeing a Nashville club that has a plan not just for the game in front of it, but for how it's going to develop over the course of, you know, a 1 or 2 week run of matches. So you see players like, you know, Randall Leal and Alistair Johnston and Anibal Godoy, who are leaving on international duty, and they're going to do so again in a week or so, and play all around North America. And in their place, while Nashville doesn't have any games, they're going to have a game right after that international break where those players are most likely going to be too fatigued to go a full 90. I guarantee you there is a thorough plan for exactly how Nashville will play out that scenario. And they've done a really good job of getting, you know, younger players minutes, developing their talent, taking some of their draft picks, and making sure that they get time in alternate leagues and then bringing them back here so they can fill in. The scouting of Nashville SC is really been one of the strengths of this club, that you can have a player go out on international duty and the person that comes in for him, for example, Tom Brian Anunga stepping in for Godoy or McCarty, the player that comes in for them, there's not a huge loss in terms of product on the field. So I think you're seeing a Nashville team that's quite deep. And also, I think there's a special shout out to the training staff with this Nashville SC club. I look at the injury reports of every team in the league, and at this point in September, with 6, 7, 8 games to go, depending on the teams, in a 34-match season, Nashville is one of the only teams that has had a completely empty injury list for several weeks. That is absolutely remarkable to see that injury list come out each week, and knock on wood, it's not very full now, and hopefully it won't be moving forward, but it all kind of adds up with how they manage their players, the time, the minutes, the recovery, the roster rotation, and so on. And right now you see a team that can consistently compete night in and night out in a very grueling league.
Anybody who's ever built a house from scratch, like you do the plans, you do everything, it could take 4 to 6 months. And if anybody's ever been through that process, it probably feels like 4 to 6 years. But while that all that's happening, you've got to live in your current house. And it's hard because you've done all these cool things to what's the next house is going to have that your house currently doesn't have. And it takes forever to get to that point where you move into the new one. How difficult is it, you think, to not, because they can't. They can't worry about the new home. They can't worry about that right now. They're in their current home and they've got a season and playoffs and all this stuff to think about. But it is hard not to wander, right? Just to let envision what it's going to be like in the new home.
There was a moment last night where Chase is doing our audio engineering, and we often look back at him and just kind of signal that we're going to stop doing the play-by-play and color commentary and just let the crowd go for a second. And there was a moment where you could hear the Nashville SC chants, and we just stopped talking, and Chase turned up the crowd noise. And again, a moment that gives you a bit of chills. And I turned to Wes, my color analyst, and I said, just wait till we get a roof on a building. And Nashville SC is going to have, you know, a large amount of covered seats, and the new stadium is going to trap in that sound. And you think about just what an environment Nissan Stadium is right now, and how hard it is for other teams to win here. No one's done it in almost an entire calendar year. And then to think that the next building that they move into next year is going to be even more tailor-made to create a home atmosphere and excitement, you've got to just wonder what Nashville SC is going to be capable of in that building if this is what they're doing currently in their home. But to your point, I'd like to encourage people who are following the team to live in the present.
Well, and you need to experience it so you can talk about both one day, right? I went to Nissan, and I went to, you know, and now I go to the new home. I mean, you need to experience both.
Yeah, it's like flying, you know, commercial class right now, and then next year you're getting the private jet, or you're moving up to first class, and you can be excited about that. But right now we're heading in a really good destination, no matter what seat you're sitting in. But to go back to your point, I think if you're looking forward to next year, you're missing something that's truly extraordinary what's happening. Second year teams don't do this. You don't see a lot of expansion clubs in year two having a 15 game home unbeaten streak and being second in the Eastern Conference.
And being ticked off contender. That you have to settle for a tie.
Exactly. Against a Orlando City team that has, you know, one of the best players or a couple of the best players in Major League Soccer. And Daryl DK and Luis Nani. And here we are, you know, somewhat bummed out about a 2-2 draw at home.
Last thing, we had Scott Corley on a couple days ago, the athletics director over Belmont. Big news coming from their campus. They're moving to the Missouri Valley Conference. And, boy, with all the hype around this Belmont basketball team, and I know they won't be in it this year, but it'll be the next season in 2022. But that's already a really good basketball conference, and there's already a lot of rumors out there swirling that Murray State could be the 12th member, and wow, what a basketball conference that could be. You're now the voice of that team. How exciting is it to, one, this season, there's going to be tons of hype around the Bruins, and then you get to whatever happens and however this season plays out, you get to move into this really attractive new conference.
Yeah, it's a moment where I kind of have to pinch myself. I was coming back from vacation on Monday and driving with my wife, and a staff person from Belmont, Greg Stage, called me and he said, "Are you free tomorrow to host a press conference?" Like, yeah, sure. What's the deal? Well, we're moving conferences to the Missouri Valley Conference, and I'd heard some rumors, and to hear it actually confirmed is astounding for Belmont. I think the general feel around Belmont is a very quiet confidence, but also a feeling of gratefulness and disbelief of, we were an NAIA school 25 years ago. They were a fledgling, you know, independent Division I basketball program maybe 20 or so years ago. And now here they are moving to a conference that has produced Final Four participants in Illinois, Chicago. I know Wichita State's no longer in the conference, but you know they were a quality program. This potential ceiling by joining the Missouri Valley Conference is way, way higher. And I think it matches Belmont's aspirations in the basketball.
By the way, I think Sister Jean is going to live to be about 125 years old. So she's got about 23 more years of Missouri Valley Conference Loyola Chicago Belmont games to watch. So
that's I love it. That's when the transition will become real, when you go up to Chicago and you see her in the crowd. And
no doubt.
Oh, man. And that team's going to be really good. Again, they've still got some of those guys. Remember, everybody got a free year. So they might be the two oldest teams in college basketball.
That's right.
Belmont and Loyola.
Yeah. Oh, there are going to be some battles. So not this year. We'll get a preview when Belmont plays Drake in a tournament. But we'll have to wait till next year to get the true MVC matchups.
Thanks for doing this, as always. Good to catch up with you. We'll do it again here soon.
Love it, guys. Thank you.
All right. That is John Freeman, the voice of Nashville SC. They will actually hit the road this weekend. They'll take on New York City FC on Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. Of course, you can listen to it on 94.9. We'll come back more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll hear from David Long Jr., their linebacker. Great story. What a season he's had to this point. That's coming up at 11:15. But right now, we'll just step aside, come back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget to go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half-off gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville. Get your deals right now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Don't forget /deals. I've taken advantage of some of our deals. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. We had baseball practice last night and in a mosquito-fest field. My gosh, the mosquitoes are crazy right now. Still nice weather, but after practice, get to load up the car. I don't ever check my phone, so I'm out of pocket for a couple of hours, and I see I've got a lot of messages, and I always get nervous because I'm like, oh, great, what's happened? I know something's happened. I've seen this all too many times over the years. And unfortunately, that feeling held true last night because when I looked at all my messages, I was saddened to read that my good friend, longtime friend, Matt Lodi up in Cleveland, Ohio, lost his battle with cancer and he passed away. And for people who have listened to this show over the years, no matter what station we were on, certainly he's made tons of appearances on this station over a decade. But Matt goes way, way back. And we've had him on, I don't even know, countless times. And Matt was an awesome, awesome dude. I started off in the business with Matt Lodi. And he was younger than me. But we started out together. We cut our teeth together. We were covering the Indians together. We were covering the Browns together. I've told the story before. I'll never forget that 95 Indians team that we were there every night. And sometimes we would go over to the visiting clubhouse and the Seattle Mariners were in town. And Willie, you know, that 95 Mariners team was good. They were so good. And Jay Buhner was their right fielder. Like I said, Matt was at the – we were at the beginning stages of our career. So we were learning the ropes. And Matt asked Jay Buhner a question he didn't particularly care for, and Jay gave it to him, and I watched Matt pee down his leg as I sat there just dying laughing inside watching this exchange with Matt Lodi and Jay Buhner. And I never let him forget that moment. Of course, he never forgot that moment. But those were some of the fun times. We worked in Canton, Ohio together, right around the corner from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That was every day we made that trek from Cleveland to Canton to work at a little AM station around the corner from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I'll never forget, geez, this was, I guess, 1996 probably. We did an NFL draft show. Like I said, we're on this little AM station in a dang trailer, basically. Didn't even have bathrooms. And we had the most incredible three-hour NFL draft show. We had NFL coaches on, head coaches. I mean, we had like five NFL head coaches on, and we were like, I can't believe they agreed to do this. If they only knew, you know, here we are on this little AM station in Canton, Ohio, and they were having this incredible conversation, but we never forgot. We actually got a write-up in the Canton paper about that show. But, man, we goofed off so much. We were unprofessional sometimes. We were laughing on the air and uncontrollably. Willie has seen this out of me before when we used to do a NASCAR hour, and me and Liz used to leave him hanging because we would start laughing and be unprofessional, and Willie would be like, guys, are you going to help me out here? Matt used to do that with me, like, are you going to help me out, brother? And I'm like, I'm dying on a vine here, and you're over there. You've turned your mic off, and you're done, and you're in the floor. Because we would do stupid stuff and just crack each other up. It just goes on and on. He was so – you're talking about stringing. I did a lot of stringing for national networks. Greg Ruff did as well. We did a lot of stringing in the early days of the Oilers/Titans here for a long time. Back when stringing was the thing. You would just call in reports and you would get guests afterwards. And as much as – myself and Greg Ruff did it here, which was a lot for a long time. Matt Lodi was Mr. Stringer. If this was Columbus, Ohio, he was the stringer in Cleveland, Ohio. Like, that's what he did. Matt, they like had like an office set up for Matt Lodi in the Browns press box because I think he did every single network. He was crazy. I used to tell him, like, you're crazy to do that. He's doing like 8 networks during one Browns game. It was incredible. He had like multiple phones in front of him. But Matt, you know, with all that being said, he was a pro's pro. But more importantly, he was a great, great human being. He was an awesome, awesome dude. And he was really good at what he did. Everybody loved Matt Lodi, and he's gone, and I still can't believe it. He was only in his 40s, you know, Chase, and everybody out there listening. This goes without saying, but, you know, cancer sucks. We all know that. And it just reiterates it again and again and again and again. And as we get older, unfortunately, more things like this happen in our lives where we lose close ones. But, man, he was a gem. And I just can't believe it. I just talked to him probably 6 weeks ago, and I thought, man, you know, he's been fighting this fight for a good while now, and I just thought, man, he's going to beat this. Like, this has been going on for years. And he sounded upbeat when I talked to him, and we had a great conversation, had some great laughs, and I just thought, man, Matt's going to make it. Like, he's going to come through on the other side, and he's going to be one of those success stories. And, you know, then I get the news last night, and it just made me reflect of 2 years ago I made the decision, because I don't get back to Cleveland hardly ever. The schedule just doesn't allow it. Got a lot of family and friends up there. But I'm so glad that 2 years ago I decided to bite the bullet. And I was like, you know what? Let's go. Like, thank goodness the NFL schedule came out and they put the Titans there to start off week one. I was like, that made the decision for me. I was like, I was already thinking about it, but I was like, all right, we're going for sure. So I took the family up there, and I'm glad. It was the best thing I ever did, because I sat there in the press box and I was probably gone for half the game from my seat, because I was sitting there with Matt Lodi and a group of people, big group of people, and we sat there and swapped stories for half the game and just were laughing. And I mean, I didn't pay attention to a lot of the game, because we were just sitting there, and because, you know, I hadn't seen him in a long time. I knew what he was going through, and you would never know it that day, and it was just like old times. And man, am I glad I went back, because I would be really, really kicking myself today if I didn't go back for that trip. So at least I've got that. Like I said, Willie, Chase, you two, you both of you know Matt Lodi.
Oh, yeah.
He was on so much over the years.
He's our go-to guy.
He was the go-to guy in Cleveland. And, man, he would bring it. Every time he came on, he would bring it. But he's going to be missed. He'll never be forgotten, but he'll be missed.
Well, and I you know, I know he's been through this and been through the journey, but I know how tight you guys are. And I met him a couple times with you, and then ran into him one of the last times the baseball winter meetings were here.
Oh yeah,
I was wandering around, and all of a sudden I hear this voice say, "Hey, Chase," and I was like, "Well, I know that voice," and I turn around and it was Lodi. So, we sat and talked and told Darren stories and, you know, all those things. But you guys know, I mean, I've obviously been through it recently. Cancer sucks, and it takes too many people way too soon. And hopefully I would love to see a day where that awful disease is not with us anymore. But thoughts and prayers to Matt and his family.
You can appreciate his journey, Chase, because he started out very young age. I mean, he was in the biz. I mean, he was probably 21. He may not have even been 22. Yeah. He started off in the business 20. He was very, very young, very green. But man, he learned a lot in a hurry. The two of us made a lot of missteps together, for sure. In fact, Willie, here's a story I don't think I've ever told, at least on the air. You can appreciate this. This was the early days of the Predators, the early, early days. I want to say, gosh, this has got to be two decades ago. We were at, this was when we were at 99.7 for sure. And I was at the game with him. He was in town, and I don't even remember why. Maybe the Browns were in town to take on the Titans. I'm not sure why he was in town. Maybe he was just visiting me. He was staying at my house, at my first house. And we went to I took him to the Preds Red Wings game. I'll never forget. It was a Saturday night game. And we were in the radio station suite. And everybody was telling me, because everybody knew I was, you know, big hair band guy. And anybody who went to went to college with me knows that I loved the group Slaughter, and Mark Slaughter was in the suite that night, and everybody kept telling me, "Dude, that's Mark Slaughter," and I was like, "Whatever, get out of here." And you know, we were drinking, we were having a good time. It was a Saturday night. It was the early days of the Predators. It was a great atmosphere, and everybody kept coming up to me, and I was like, "They're just all messing with me. Like, that's not." They're like, "That dude in the Preds jersey, that's Mark Slaughter," and I was like, "Whatever, get out of here." And so I didn't pay any attention to him. And finally, they brought him up to me and introduced me to. And Mark Slaughter was like the coolest dude because I sat there that night and I bored him to death with all my stupid stories. And like I said, I'd been drinking, and I just, you know, it was the time of my life. I was embarrassed later on because I'm like, I must have sounded like a bumbling idiot that night talking to him, but he was gracious. He was awesome. He was a really, really cool dude. And I used to tell him, you know, "Fly to the Angels." I would play it like 1,000 times, that song. I loved that song. And so he was nice enough just to let me ramble and ramble. And Matt was right there to watch the whole thing and laugh his butt off at me while I made a fool out of myself.
While you were fangirling? While you were fangirling?
Oh, there's no question. And he never let me live down that moment of how I totally wigged out and made a fool out of myself at a Preds Red Wings game on a Saturday night in the radio suite to Mark Slaughter. And I chewed up probably a period and a half of his time. And he was like the nicest guy in the world, and I'm sure he got out of there and said, "My God, I'll never do that again."
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, I know it's tough for you because you guys, like you said, broken together, but and we're good friends. So
yeah,
he'll
we'll
be
miss.
Matt. I mean, we'll he was our, he was our go-to guy for Cleveland.
He really was. I can think of so many times that we leaned on him. Every time there was something big going on with LeBron or with the Browns,
yeah,
or with the Indians, of course. You know, controversial things. He was the guy. We knew we could get the good info, the perspective, yep, from up there.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, through this journey, if you go back and look on the internet, whether or newspapers or what social media, like anybody who's anybody in that market, the who's who in that market, coaches, players, media members, they have given shout outs. And, you know, this one's for Matt Lowe. I mean, he was beloved in that market. Everybody loved him, and everybody knew the fight that he was in, and it was just, it would always just bring me so much joy to see the people that would say stuff, like the, you know, the famous people in that market that would say something about Matt, you know, after a game or before a game. I was like, wow, I was just blown away. But that just goes to show you, like, how much, you know, because he'd been in that, on that scene forever. And like you said, Willie, he covered every, there was, I don't know how many years, but he covered every single Indians game and Cavs game. Just think about that. Think about your schedule. He was at every single game for years and years. This just in, that's 81 home games, not counting playoffs on the baseball side, and 41 home games, not counting playoffs on the basketball side. That's just two sports. I mean, he lived there at those places. So rest in peace, Matt. You'll be missed, my friend. You'll be missed. We'll come back. David Long Jr. at 11:15. We'll get into some Titan stuff this next hour to begin the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.